Hello, this is Making Connections. I'm Barb Seaman. In the last couple of years, lots of companies and organizations have finally started to recognize the importance of training their staff in diversity, inclusion, and unconscious bias. It feels to me like it's about damn time. Many privileged white people, like myself, have started to wake up to the cold reality that inequities exist in every layer of our world. It's time to stop being defensive, start asking questions, and above all, listen. That's what I've been trying to do. So I was grateful for the chance recently to talk with Sirius Bonner. She spoke about her role as Vice President of Equity and Inclusion for Planned Parenthood Columbia Willamette.
So Planned Parenthood Columbia Willamette, we cover most of Oregon. We have a sister affiliate in Southern Oregon that takes care of sort of Eugene on South. Mm-hmm. And we also cover Vancouver and sort of Southwest Washington at PVCW. And we provide a wide range of reproductive health services to all patients. So anything from STI screenings to birth control to abortion to vasectomy, wide range of options for those who are looking to take care of their reproductive health.
Okay, great. And so can you tell me a little bit about your job there?
Sure. So I am on the administrative side. I don't often work with or see patients, but really my role is to ensure that PVCW is an equitable, safe, welcoming environment for our staff and for our patients. And so that means doing a lot of work internally on our policies and procedures and providing trainings for our staff, providing opportunities for people to have deeper conversations about areas of identity like race, class, gender, sexuality, those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And to also ensure that we are making sure that our policies and procedures around patient care are as equitable as possible so that patients are having a good experience also when they come, no matter who they are.
How long has this position been an active position at Planned Parenthood?
So I've been at PVCW for about 5 years in this area. My roles and titles have shifted a little bit over time. Mm-hmm. There was another person in this role for about 6 months to a year before me. So for about 6 years, the organization has really, really been looking into trying to make a lot of changes around being a more equitable organization.
Could you give me like an example, just real quick, of what's one thing that you do to further the cause of being more equitable there?
Sure. So I have a teammate, Amelia, who I work with very closely, and we are kind of a dynamic duo, and we provide trainings to all of our staff. And over the past couple of years, we've been really working on and honing this series of trainings, about six trainings throughout the year, that are on a range of different topics that are relevant to our staff and that they can use in their everyday working life to sort of not only increase the ability to be a better staff for each other, but also to be better for our patients. And so some of the topics that we include in this six-part series are things like the sort of history of race and racism within Oregon in our region. One of our trainings covers conversations around mind, body, and health. So looking at things like weight bias and mental illness and those sorts of aspects. We look at another one on the history of white feminism and how that plays into the history of Planned Parenthood, which is a really, really important topic for us. Mm-hmm. We do another one that's really focused on microaggressions and creating a more inclusive environment and how to create a culture that is really inclusive and welcoming. So those are some of the things that we do. And again, these are not only are they open to all staff, but we do this sort of round robin where each of our health centers gets an opportunity to participate in a more intensive version of the workshop every other month.
Okay. Well, you just like made a bunch of other questions pop into my head now. So, I mean, can I just ask you, like, how do you create a culture that's more welcome? Is there like a secret key to doing that?
Oh, gosh, I really wish that there was. But I think in some ways, the first step is to create awareness. And so a lot of what we've been doing over the years is to bring our staff to a deeper awareness of the ways in which there may be inequities present, or we may be sort of behaving or thinking in a way that might be problematic, and to start uncover that as a way to help produce change. So we've done a lot of intensive work around unconscious bias with a lot of our staff. And that's really important because, and you have to make sure that you're doing it in a way that is, dare I say, the right way, because a lot of folks, I'm sure, are going through various unconscious bias trainings at their workplaces. And often it's not paired with an analysis around power and privilege and history. And so understanding sort of where power and privilege lies in this country, analysis around race and racism, and analysis around things like white supremacy, patriarchy, and classism or capitalism, if that is not paired with the unconscious bias, people will leave sort of thinking that, oh, well, you know, these are just my deep, dark secrets, and as long as I know that they're there, I can sort of keep moving, and I'll just work on it. And it's just not that simple. You have to understand that these deep, dark secrets are rooted in wider systems of power. And it's really, really important to continue to uproot those secrets and make intentional changes in order to impact those systems and the daily lived lives of you and the other people around you.
Has there been a lot of change? Have you seen a lot of change in your organization since you started doing this work 5 years ago?
Boy, that's a hard thing to say. I sometimes feel like I'm too close to see it.
Mm-hmm.
What I think for me is when I hear other people reflecting on the change that they've seen, then I know that it's real, and I sort of see the value in my work and the work that others have put into this, because I don't do it alone by any means. There's so many people involved and invested. But, you know, when you hear people who've been there for a long time saying, you know, we used to do this and now we would never think of doing that because we've, you know, gone through these trainings or the policies changed, or, you know, we went through that shared experience of learning and now we just approach these problems in a very different way. We use our equity lens on a regular basis. It's involved in our decision making. The way that we look at the budget is different. The way that we deal with patient complaints is different. Just to hear that reflected back to me feels validating.
Yeah.
How
about this? Can you tell me, like, so how does our area compare to the rest of the country as far as, is there a way of measuring whether the inequities are worse here or better here than they are in other areas of the country?
That's a really good question. And, you know, it's hard to say because our area is not incredibly diverse.
Mm-hmm.
Both the sort of metro area, the state of Oregon, the region of the Pacific Northwest, we're not the most diverse area. And so it is a little bit hard to compare apples to apples in terms of disparity.
Mm-hmm.
We do know, I mean, even looking within the diversity that we do have, we do know that there is disparity in what patients of color experience versus white patients in sort of all forms of healthcare. We know that that's a truth.
Mm-hmm.
What that looks like in comparison to other places, I'm not sure, but I do know that, like, even if you just look internally, we know that there's disparity.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, though, that at least in terms of what's going on in Oregon, I know that there is some attention being paid to it and some interest in making some changes. And so organizations, healthcare organizations, become more invested in health equity, we're really starting to see some movement in at least the understanding of what inequity looks like and how we might make some changes. So I think that if people start to really start to look into or think about what health equity is and what it looks like, the better off we'll be. And even, you know, folks who aren't involved, as they start to understand what health equity is, I think the community will be served by that as well.
I'm I'm talking with Vice President of Equity and Inclusion for Planned Parenthood, Columbia Willamette, Sirius Bonner. We'll continue in just a minute.
Programming like this is brought to you through the generous support of our founding sponsors at ADCO, Commercial Printing and Graphics, Clark County's local print shop since 1993. ADCO features stationery, posters, flyers, tickets, business cards, stickers, catalogs, and much more. Print on anything and mail anywhere. Learn more at adco1.com. That's ADCO1.com.
And in times like these, it's important to amplify the good stuff. GiveMore 24 is your chance to do just that. It's Southwest Washington's largest day of giving, and it all kicks off on September 23rd. That's the day that our region comes together to give more. Matching gifts and nonprofit prizes will make giving go further, and it all unfolds online at givemore24.org. That's where you can find, support, and celebrate more than 200 local charities. So help amplify the good in our region. Visit givemore24.org today and find a nonprofit to support on September 23rd.
Another night, another love. I'm hanging on, we push and shove. Possession is the motivation that is hanging up the goddamn nation. Looks like we always end up in a rut. Everybody now trying to make it real compared to what?
You're listening to Making Connections. I'm Barb Seaman, sharing a recent conversation I had with Sirius Bonner. She's VP of Equity and Inclusion for Planned Parenthood Columbia Willamette. One of my questions to her was based on this remark that Raphael Warnock made. It's from the debate just before he won the election in the Georgia Senate runoffs. It started as a comment defending his stance on abortion and a woman's right to choose, but he changed the focus to the disparities in our healthcare system.
Well, listen, I have a profound reverence for life and an abiding respect for choice. The question is, whose decision is it? And I happen to think that a patient's room is too small a place for a woman, her doctor, and the U.S. government. I think that's too many people in the room. But those who are concerned about life, and I certainly am, ought to be focused on the incredibly high rates of infant mortality and maternal mortality in our country when compared to other developed nations. That's something the government could work on, and I've been working on it my entire career.
I guess what I'm wondering is, do you feel like it's the government's role to start working on this problem, and what do you think should be the first thing that should be done?
Wow. Well... I don't know that it's the government's role, but the government has a role.
Mm-hmm.
A really important one, actually, especially in terms of providing funding and research dollars and those sorts of things, which I think is probably a good place to start. It's often difficult to really deal with any issue without a real look at the numbers. And that, you know, that's all sort of a tenet of white supremacy culture, like, where's the evidence? Where's the proof? So you get your proof, you get your evidence, you do your studies, we do our research, we come up with the data, and then we can start making the changes. So I think the government really has a role to play in providing both an impetus for the research and the funding for the research to get done. And that, I think, is a great starting point.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, certainly the government could take on more of a role in supporting mothers and children. The COVID pandemic has shown us in the United States how deeply we're deprived of support for children and mothers and families.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is something. If we're not paying attention or noticing this, and a lot of us are not. A lot of us have sort of moved on from this question, but we are in dire straits in this country without providing more support for mothers, children, and families.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real problem, and that's something that the government really should be looking into. I was just reading the other day that a lot of other countries just provide a monthly stipend of you know, a couple hundred dollars to work to families with children.
Hmm.
Could you imagine if the United States did that? you know, and just how we compare on things like parental leave and those sorts of things, and the question about should we open schools or not. I saw a quote recently that the question shouldn't be should we open schools. The question always should have been, why is schools the only answer to childcare, education, the ability for people to have a successful work life? School should never have been the only answer to all those questions.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the government has a role to play in helping us tease out some of those things.
What, let me ask you this, what do you see for the future for your Planned Parenthood organization where you work there?
Great question. You know, I think our future is really bright, to be honest, because people will continue to need our services. And as we are able to continue to provide a high quality and a high level of service to our community, it will just become more needed and over time. Even as we face or potentially face difficult political tides, you know, right now we've just transitioned and we think we are in a more welcoming political environment that could change in any moment.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, actually, this is really important. The unique thing about our organization in Oregon is the Oregon political context. Oregon is a state that is incredibly friendly to women and other people who are interested in having babies or not having babies and following whatever reproductive healthcare choices they're interested in making.
Mm-hmm.
And so Oregon's real support for the RHEA Act, which was to provide reproductive healthcare for people, support of abortion, support of folks who are, you know, really trying to figure out what they want to do with their bodies. We are so lucky to live in a state like Oregon where our political leaders really understand bodily autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
Because we could be in a really different landscape where political leaders don't understand or respect those things at all.
Mm-hmm.
And if that changes in Oregon, then I think that is where PBCW and other organizations like ours would become a much more difficult place to be. But thankfully,
mm-hmm.
thankfully we live in the Oregon of today, reproductive choice is respected.
And so you're talking about Oregon and the climate in Oregon. And do you have any idea what it's like over here on our side of the river, on the Washington side?
In Washington. Mm-hmm. Washington is also pretty friendly. You'll have a one or two more laws on the books than we do around some reproductive choice issues. But by and large, the legislators and various political forces in Washington are also pretty friendly. And we appreciate and understand that to be a real boon as well.
Okay.
You know, I think on the West Coast in general, it's just that Oregon has none. And other places have very few,
mm-hmm.
compared to other parts of the country where there's a lot.
I've been talking with Sirius Bonner from Planned Parenthood Columbia Willamette. She's vice president of equity and inclusion there, and I so appreciate her for sharing her time and thoughts with me, and especially for the important work that she's doing.
Sunday sleeping not, trying to duck the wrath of God. Preachers filling us with fright. They all trying to teach us what they think is right. They really got to be some kind of nut. I can't use it. I'm trying to make it real compared to what love makes hurt.
Making Connections is a production of KXRW Community Radio, which has been on the air in Vancouver since March of 2017. Our volunteer producers and the executive staff work really hard to connect with the community and bring you locally focused stories to enrich your life. If you'd like to support us, please go to kxrw.fm. And we owe a debt of gratitude to X-Ray FM for all of the help, support, and guidance they've given us over the last few years. X-Ray played a huge part in getting KXRW up and running, and if possible, it'd be great if you could consider supporting their efforts as well. Thanks.